We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 784 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Friday, March 15th, 2024. It is the Ides of March, the date of the assassination of Julius Caesar by senators hoping to preserve the Roman Republic. Perhaps Caesar, wherever he now is, can relate to now former Commanders quarterback Sam Howell. Yes, I said former. Major Commanders news on Thursday evening. The team announcing having agreed to trade Sam to the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, we have some things to talk about. Hello and welcome to this Friday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. This has been some week, if you are like me and are a fan of the NFL team known as the Washington Commanders. Every day, so much happening. All of it about football, which is so refreshing, right? No more scandals or controversies to worry about. Now, when we say something like, this has been some week, if you're a Commanders fan, right? We say that for actual football reasons, not off the field reasons, but this week has been jam-packed with Commanders news. And yes, the news Thursday was led by the team agreeing to trade Sam Howell. Our next segment will give you reaction to and analysis of the trade. What is the latest repudiation of the Commanders roster by general manager Adam Peters? Boy, he is not a fan of the roster that he inherited. Now, also with the Commanders on Thursday was them officially announcing a number of signings of unrestricted free agents. The Commanders on Thursday afternoon officially announced the following free agent acquisitions: quarterback Marcus Mariota, long snapper Tyler Ott, kicker Brandon McManus, linebacker Anthony Pittman, a new name, guard Nick Allegretti, edge defender Dorrance Armstrong, linebacker Frankie Louvu, and safety Jeremy Chinn. Also, the Commanders on Thursday afternoon announced the re-signing of unrestricted free agent edge defender F.A. Obada. A number of these guys did press conferences on Thursday afternoon. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss the Marcus Mariota introductory press conference, and then we'll talk about a variety of other Commanders items, including this acquisition of Anthony Pittman and the re-signing of F.A. Obada, and three more defections of unrestricted free agents for the Commanders: receiver Curtis Samuel to the Buffalo Bills, safety Cameron Curl to the Los Angeles Rams, and corner Kendall Fuller to the Miami Dolphins. Wait until you hear the terms of the contracts for Curl and Fuller. So a lot of Commanders talk on the show. And also on the show, I'll review a busy Thursday in Washington, D.C. area sports beyond the Commanders. I will talk Capitals, who won at the Seattle Kraken 2-1 late night on Thursday night, and somehow are just 1 point out of the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. I will talk conference tournaments and college basketball. Number 12-seeded Maryland lost to number 5-seeded Wisconsin 87-56. Great job, Terps, at the Target Center in Minneapolis on Thursday afternoon in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. I will address the state of our Terrapins. And number 3-seeded Virginia beat number 11-seeded Boston College 66-60 in overtime at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. late night on Thursday night in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. Are the Cavaliers going to make the NCAA tournament? And I will talk Wizards. They on Thursday night lost at the Houston Rockets 135-119 in a game in which defense was optional. And also with our NBA worst Wizards is them gaining the services of an intriguing young player. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. So much feedback to what the Commanders are doing this offseason. Email from Fear No Blade about the undeniable reality of what Adam Peters is engineering, and that is massive roster change. Writes Fear No Blade, the new front office has brought in a lot of replacements and has re-signed very few of our free agents. If the new front office doesn't want our own free agents, what does it think of the other players on the team? Should we expect cuts soon? Thank you for the email, Fear No Blade. Well, it was 2 weeks ago, March 1st, that the Commanders released left tackle Charles Leno Jr. and tight end Logan Thomas. It was on Wednesday evening that the Commanders released center Nick Gates. So we have already had some cuts. Could more cuts be coming? Sure. What usually happens in the NFL offseason is that there is a wave of players cut near the start of free agency, and then there's another wave of players cut shortly after the NFL draft. That wave, as you may recall, is how Washington got Leno as an unrestricted free agent in May 2021. The team signed him just days after he was released by the Chicago Bears. I would think that the most notable cuts by the Commanders this offseason have happened, but I'm not dismissing the possibility of more cuts come the time shortly after the draft. Email from Stanley Evans on the Commanders' new front office regime. Right, Stanley. What's going on, Al? Hope that everything has been well. I was scrolling through old Redskins videos on YouTube and a Bruce Allen press conference popped up, and I was just relieved to know that people like him are no longer in the organization. My curiosity caused me to play the video, and he was talking about evaluating the team after yet another losing season. He told one of the reporters, and I quote, "You need good players, good coaches, and a little bit of luck with injuries to be successful." And my most favorite quote was, "We won one division game this year after winning zero last year, so we're improving." He looked as if he had no clue what he was talking about, let alone how to evaluate a roster and pick good players. I don't think that we realize how doomed we were with Bruce and Danny running the show. Thank God for Josh Harris and Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. We have hope. Thank you for the email, Stanley. We do have hope. And also, YouTube is dangerous, man. So many rabbit holes. What can happen when you're in a really messed up situation for a long time and then get out of that situation is that you look back on the messed up situation and you say to yourself, how is it that I lived with that messed up situation for as long as I did? I feel that way with our football team. Dan Snyder was the lead owner of the team for more than 24 years, May 1999 to July 2023. Bruce Allen was a major executive for the team for a decade, December 2009 to December 2019. Vinny Serrato was a major executive for the team from July 1999 to January 2001, and then January 2002 to December 2009. These people and others were with the team for so long and were responsible for so much bad stuff. And we as fans lived with all of this for way too long. It really is amazing when you look back on it. Email from Aaron on a snapshot of progress for the Commanders from the vantage point of their 30-28 loss at the New York Jets this past Christmas Eve afternoon, a game in which the Commanders overcame a 27-7 halftime deficit. But then came Greg the Leg. The Jets' final offensive drive began with the Commanders leading a 28-27 lead with 1 minute 41 seconds left in the fourth quarter. The Commanders' terrible defense allowed the Jets to put together an 8-play, 31-yard drive that resulted in kicker Greg Zuerlein's 54-yard field goal for a 30-28 Jets lead with 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter. A very key moment in our team getting the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Thank you, Greg the Leg, writes Aaron. I just wanted to share an excerpt from a text group chat in which I was live texting the first quarter of the Jets game. No need to read the text on air or anything, but please just appreciate where we've come from. Look at what we had to watch in that Jets game, and look at what we get to see now. December 24th and now are two different rosters. That Jets game was the final trial we had to go through to get here. Not celebrating yet, but this offseason just feels like finally being hugged and told, I hear you. Cheers as always. Hope these signings pan out. Thank you for the email, Aaron. I hope so too. Aaron makes a key point, though, right? No celebrating yet. The Commanders have not won anything yet. It's certainly possible that we look back on this offseason as not being very good. But for now, things feel like they are good, and it is nice to feel that way. We deserve to feel that way. Well, we always hope that things are good for you and your family and friends, but if you have been harmed by the negligence of someone else, or if someone who you care about has been harmed by the negligence of someone else, contact a proud sponsor of this podcast, the great law firm of Paulson and Nace. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. Paulson and Nace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm that handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C. and West Virginia. If you feel that you've been wronged, if you think that you've been wronged but aren't sure, call Paulson and Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. The phone number is 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace has recovered millions of dollars for the sick and injured. How about this? Two verdicts versus Merrill Dow totaling $132 million as Paulson and Nace has taken on Big Pharma and won. Bradley versus the United States of America. Paulson and Nace won a case for which the United States government had to pay nearly $1.8 million. Paulson and Nace took on the U.S. government and won. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace, 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. You can also visit paulsonandnace.com. That's paulsonandnace.com. Just don't forget to tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace, when tragedy happens, let the family of Paulson and Nace take care of your family. If you happen to be listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, you can write a review of the podcast saying that you like it. The review can be just a sentence or two, but the reviews help out the podcast a lot. Thank you for doing them. If you had to write a review of the Commanders offseason so far, how would that review read? We, over the years with our football team, have had many sagas with many quarterbacks, right? Well, you can add another completed saga to that list. The Sam Howell saga now is done. The Commanders on Thursday evening announced having agreed to trade Sam Howell to the Seattle Seahawks. The trade is as follows. The Commanders send Sam Howell, a fourth-round pick in the 2024 draft, the 102nd overall pick, and a sixth-round pick in the 2024 draft, the 179th overall pick, to the Seahawks for a third-round pick in the 2024 draft, the 78th overall pick, and a fifth-round pick in the 2024 draft, the 152nd overall pick. There are many draft pick trade value charts. They include probably the most famous of the draft pick trade value charts, the Jimmy Johnson chart, but we also have the Fitzgerald Spielberger chart or the overthecap.com chart. Pro Football Focus has a chart. We have the Chase Stewart chart. We have the Rich Hill chart. We have the Harvard chart. There are a lot of charts. And the charts are all over the map with what the Commanders ultimately got for Sam Howell via trade. The overthecap.com chart has the Commanders getting the equivalent of a mid-6th-round pick for Sam. The Pro Football Focus chart has the Commanders getting the equivalent of a late 5th-round pick for Sam. But the Jimmy Johnson chart has the Commanders getting the equivalent of a late 3rd-round pick for Sam. The Rich Hill chart has the Commanders getting the equivalent of an early 4th-round pick for Sam. Here's the bottom line. If Sam Howell is never going to be more than a QB2, and maybe even not a very good QB2, then this trade is a very good trade for the Commanders. This trade is excellent work by Commanders General Manager Adam Peters. But if Sam does become, say, a decent QB1, to say nothing of a good QB1, then this is a not-so-good trade for the Commanders. The trade, from a Commander's perspective, comes down to whether Adam Peters is right about Sam Howell. Because what Adam pretty clearly thinks about Sam is that Sam isn't good and isn't going to become good. Time will tell on Sam Howell. But as for the now, the Commanders now have a whopping 6 of the top 100 picks in the 2024 draft. Number 2, number 36, number 40, number 67, number 78, and number 100. 6 of the top 100 picks in the 2024 draft. The 2024 draft could be a transformative draft for our team. The 2024 draft could be a franchise-altering draft for our team. There is no overstating the significance of the 2024 draft for our team. April 25th through April 27th. That is the main event of this Commanders offseason from a player personnel perspective. But take a moment, if you would, to consider the last 15 months for Sam Howell. January 2023 through March 2024, a 15-month stretch. January 2023, Sam made his NFL regular season debut in a 26-6 win over the Dallas Cowboys at FedEx Field, a game for which the Commanders' then head coach, a man named Ron Rivera, initially didn't want to start Sam because Ron didn't think that Sam was ready. But Sam, in the game, played well. And then Ron, just days later, was positioning Sam to be the team's QB1 for the 2023 season in perhaps the ultimate example of Ronnie's, the language of Ron Rivera. Last August, Sam was officially named the Commanders' QB1 and was lavished with all kinds of praise from Ron. We, starting in late October through November, had Ron constantly playing the Sam Howell card, mentioning Sam Howell whenever possible, invoking the name Sam Howell whenever possible, telling us incessantly that this Commander season was about Sam Howell. He was like the only positive at the time, and so Ron kept bringing Sam Howell up. Perhaps the peak of this was November 20th. It was on November 20th that Ron, during his day after the game press conference off a 31-19 loss to the New York Giants at FedEx Field, hammered us with the theme of growth and development.
Growth and development?
Yes, that's right, Ron. Growth and development. You can't have the growth without the development.
Growth and development?
Yes, again. Thank you, Ron. Well, 2 weeks after that, December 4th, Ron, during his day after the game press conference off a 45-15 loss to the Miami Dolphins at FedEx Field, pushed back on this narrative of growth and development. Then 2 weeks after that, December 18th, Ron, during his day after the game press conference off the 28-20 loss at the Los Angeles Rams, strongly indicated that if the Commanders were in playoff contention, Sam would not still be the team's starting quarterback. Then Ron, on December 28th, during a pre-practice press conference off the 30-28 loss at the New York Jets on December 24th, announced that Sam was no longer the team's starting quarterback. But then we did have Sam ultimately starting all 17 of the Commanders games in the 2023 regular season as the guy who was supposed to start in Sam's place for at least that Week 17 game, Jacoby Brissett, suffered a hamstring injury. Sam in the 2023 regular season ended up cratering. He, over the team's first 10 games, had 17 touchdown passes versus 9 interceptions. He, over the team's final 7 games, had just 4 touchdown passes versus 12 interceptions. The Commanders' new general manager, Adam Peters, he on February 27th in a press conference at the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, said the following.
Now I got to find a new quarterback.
Yes, you do. Adam Peters on February 27th, quote, "Now I got to find a new quarterback," end quote. For anyone, and I don't know that there were many such people left, but for anyone thinking that the Commanders might stick with Sam Howell as their QB1, might run it back with Sam, well, the team's new general manager on February 27th literally said, quote, "Now I gotta find a new quarterback," end quote. And now we have the Commanders trading Sam to the Seahawks. A wild ride, indeed, for Sam Howell over the last 15 months. Think about where he was in January 2023. Think about where he is now, March 2024. I was not big on the Commanders trading Sam Howell this offseason. I thought that it was worth keeping him. It was worth continuing to develop him. It was worth seeing where the team's quarterback situation went, especially given that Sam has 2 seasons left on his ultra-cheap rookie contract as a 5th-round pick in the 2022 draft. But what now is as clear as can be is that Adam Peters is not a believer in Sam Howell. And so Adam has traded Sam, and I just hope that Adam is right about Sam. And you think about Sam, a guy who not that long ago was viewed as the team's potential next franchise quarterback, who not that long ago was being called him, as in he is him. That guy now is gone. He is not him, unless you're talking about he being the him who has been traded. The NFL's 2024-2025 league year started on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. That was when all of these reported agreed-on contracts for NFL teams with unrestricted free agents from other NFL teams could become official. The Commanders on Wednesday did not officially announce any of their many free agent acquisitions, but the Commanders on Thursday did officially announce many free agent acquisitions, and the first one announced was the signing of quarterback Marcus Mariota, and he was one of many new Commanders players who on Thursday afternoon spoke via introductory press conference. Now, he spoke prior to the breaking news of the Commanders agreeing to trade quarterback Sam Howell to the Seattle Seahawks. But in hindsight, it is fitting that the first of the Commanders' free agent acquisitions this week officially announced by the team was Marcus Mariota. Mariota spent the 2023 season with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Commanders' new assistant head coach slash offensive pass game coordinator is Brian Johnson. He was an offensive assistant for the Eagles from January 2021 to January 2024, including being their offensive coordinator February 2023 to January 2024. So Mariota and Johnson were together with the Eagles this past season. This was Mariota on Thursday afternoon on how much Brian Johnson being on the Commanders coaching staff played into Mariota signing with the team.
Yeah, it played a lot into it. I think very highly of Brian. And I think everything that happened over the course of the last season, how he handled it, is a testament to his character. And I just want to surround myself with good people. I think ultimately in the end, you'll find ways to win games when you've got a lot of good people in the building. And it seems like that's what's kind of going on here. And I'm just appreciative of the fact that I get to be a part of it.
And how exactly will Marcus Mariota be a part of what's going on with the Commanders? His contract with the team reportedly is a one-year, $6 million deal with a max value of $10 million. That very clearly is a backup quarterback contract. Doesn't mean that he can't or won't start games for the Commanders, but that is backup quarterback money. It now is apparent that he came to the Commanders knowing that he will be the team's QB2, with the team set to get a quarterback via the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Of course, it is possible that Mariota could be the Commanders' starting quarterback to begin the 2024 regular season. Mariota on Thursday afternoon on his expectation for his role with the Commanders.
I think for me personally, I bring a lot of value in a lot of different aspects. You know, if I'm called upon to be ready to play, I'm very confident in that. And I'm also very confident in my role as a mentor. So whatever this staff, whatever this team needs of me, I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities and just try to ultimately win games here.
The Tennessee Titans took Marcus Mariota with the number 2 overall pick in the 2015 draft. Mariota is a first-round quarterback who has not worked out. He is an example of what we do not want to happen with the quarterback who the Commanders get via their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft. I'm not trying to be mean, okay, but the truth is the truth. When we talk about first-round quarterbacks who have not worked out, especially top 5 quarterbacks who have not worked out, Mariota is one of those quarterbacks. Mariota on Thursday afternoon on how he can help a quarterback taken by the Commanders with a number 2 overall pick in an NFL draft.
Yeah, absolutely. If we head in that direction, you know, for me, I've experienced that. I can kind of just relay some of the things that I went through. And then ultimately in the end, whoever that may be, is just providing them confidence to go out there and be the best version of themselves.
All right, and this was Marcus Mariota on Thursday afternoon on what he has learned from his experience as a number 2 overall pick in an NFL draft.
First and foremost, it's not easy, you know, and it takes a lot of work from a lot of different people. You know, when I was coming to Tennessee, you know, the team hadn't had a winning season in 14 years or something like that, you know, and I think when you're coming in, that expectation for you to be the quote-unquote savior and all that is a lot. And I think for me now to be able to have gone through that experience, if that's the way we go, I can provide a little bit of comfort knowing that, you know what, just be your best version of yourself. Don't worry about everything else. Don't worry about the expectations. Just go out there and just try to get better every single day, and the rest of it will fall into place.
Marcus Mariota was with the Titans for five seasons, 2015 through 2019. He then was with the Las Vegas Raiders for two seasons, 2020 and 2021. The Commanders are Mariota's fourth team in four seasons. Raiders for the 2021 season, Atlanta Falcons for the 2022 season, Eagles for the 2023 season, and Commanders for the 2024 season, which will be Mariota's age 31 season. Mariota on Thursday afternoon on his NFL career.
I think I've dealt with a lot of different things throughout my career. I've been a starter, won a playoff game. I've also been cut. I've also been injured. I've also been benched. So I think all those experiences create value and also creates opportunities for me to build relationship with guys. I can build with the top guy of the roster to the very bottom of the roster. And I think that's important. I think sometimes you need guys like myself to be able to kind of glue guys together and, just be an advocate for the guys. So whatever that case may be, I'm looking forward to it and just going to do my best in my role.
And that role now is clearly defined with the Commanders trading Sam Howell and it being as certain as ever that they are getting a quarterback via their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft. More now on the Commanders in NFL free agency. Thursday marked a fourth consecutive day on which we learned of the team adding at least a new player. We on Thursday morning had multiple reports that the Commanders had agreed on a contract with unrestricted free agent linebacker Anthony Pittman, and the team on Thursday afternoon officially announced the signing of Pittman. The 2024 season will be his age 28 season. He is a Lance Newmark guy. Pittman spent his first five NFL seasons, 2019 through 2023, with the Detroit Lions, for whom Commanders assistant general manager Lance Newmark was an executive for 26 seasons, 1998 through 2023. The Lions signed Pittman as an undrafted free agent out of Wayne State in 2019. Anthony Pittman is a depth piece at linebacker, but he also can be a key player on special teams. Pittman, over the 2021 through 2023 seasons, played in all 51 of the Lions' regular season games. He, for the 2021 regular season, was number 1 on the Lions in special team snaps. He, for the 2022 regular season, was number 2 on the Lions in special team snaps. He, for the 2023 regular season, it was number 2 on the Lions in special team snaps. While we're talking about the Commanders enhancing their inventory at linebacker, some more on Bobby Wagner. I tell you, that news from Wednesday evening, the team reportedly agreeing with Wagner as an unrestricted free agent on a one-year contract, has been as celebrated as anything by the Commanders this week. So many stats speak to Wagner's greatness. I, on Thursday's show, episode 783, went through a lot of those stats. I, during the day on Thursday, came across more stats, including this. Wagner, for the 2023 regular season, had a run-stop expected points added, a run stop EPA, a run stop EPA, per the NFL's next gen stats of -49.8, ranking number 1 among all qualified players in the NFL. Number 1. Expected points added is maybe the single best way for evaluating true value in the NFL. A positive EPA is good for the offense. A negative EPA is good for the defense. Wagner, for the 2023 regular season, what was his age 33 season, a run-stop EPA per the NFL's next-gen stats of -49.8, ranking number 1 among all qualified players in the NFL. Here's another interesting stat regarding a defensive player addition for the Commanders this week. Safety Jeremy Chinn. We on Tuesday afternoon had the reports of him as an unrestricted free agent having agreed on a one-year contract with the Commanders. I on Thursday afternoon was alerted to the following by our friend Brent, aka Burgundy Blog, on X. Jeremy Chinn is number 1 out of exactly 1,000 free safety prospects from 1987 to 2024 in Relative Athletic Score, or RAS, or RAS. His RAS was exactly 10. We on this podcast have talked about RAS for years now. Kent Lee Platy is a Navy veteran. We've had him on the podcast multiple times. He came up with RAS, again, R-A-S, as a means of grading a player's measurements in NFL scouting combine / pro day metrics on a 0 to 10 scale compared to his peer group. And the idea is to give context to all of this stuff that we hear about: a player's height, weight, 40-yard dash time, bench press, vertical jump, broad jump, etc. Like, what really does all of that stuff mean? Well, Jeremy Chinn, out of exactly 1,000 free safety prospects, 1987 to 2024, number one in RAS. Does that guarantee great performance for Jeremy Chinn with the Commanders? No, of course not. The big thing with Chinn is his health. That was his biggest issue over the last two seasons with the Carolina Panthers. Chinn, over the last two regular seasons, played in just 23 of a possible 34 games, but he in the 2020 and 2021 regular seasons, during which he was mostly healthy, was really good. Also, on Thursday afternoon, the Commanders announced that they had re-signed unrestricted free agent edge defender F.A. Obata. Third consecutive offseason in which the Commanders sign F.A. Obata. The Commanders on March 23rd, 2022 announced their initial signing of Obata as an unrestricted free agent. The team on March 20th, 2023 announced having re-signed Obata as an unrestricted free agent. And now the team again has re-signed Obata as an unrestricted free agent. The 2024 season will be his age 32 season. Obata, in the 2022 regular season, played in all 17 of the Commanders' games and on 37.36% of the team's defensive snaps. He finished with 4 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, and 2 pass defenses. He was a nice rotational player on what was, remember, a good Commanders defense that season. But Obata, like the Commanders' defense overall, had a rough 2023 season. He in the 2023 regular season played in just 5 of the Commanders' 17 games. He was on the reserve injured list from August 31st to October 14th due to a knee injury. He, for the 14-7 loss at the New York Giants on October 22nd, was a healthy inactive, and then he was placed back on the reserve injured list on November 20th due to a fractured right fibula and tibia that he suffered in the 31-19 loss to the Giants at FedEx Field on November 19th. But Obata is a guy who can play both as an edge defender and as an interior defensive lineman, and he's a nice story. Obata came into the NFL through the NFL International Player Pathway Program. He, in 2018, became the first player from the program to make the 53-man roster of an NFL team by making the 53-man roster of the Carolina Panthers. As yes, F.A. Obata is a Commanther. He was born in Nigeria. He, at 10 years old, was the victim of human trafficking. He eventually lived in London, where he played for the London Warriors of the British American Football Association National Leagues. And I do want to address the free agent defections for the Commanders on Thursday. We on Thursday evening learned that Commanders unrestricted free agent receiver Curtis Samuel had agreed on a 3-year contract with the Buffalo Bills. So the contract reportedly a 3-year, $24 million deal. Curtis, off an injury-marred first season with Washington, the 2021 season, ended up being a good and durable player for the Commanders over the last two seasons. Also, we late night on Thursday night had reports that Commanders unrestricted free agent safety Cameron Curl had agreed on a reported 2-year contract with the Los Angeles Rams, the deal worth up to $13 million. That's it. Cam Curl got just a 2-year contract worth up to just $13 million. Boy, did he get humbled in free agency. I like Cam Curl as a player. He certainly did some good things for Washington, especially considering that he was taken with a 7th round pick in the 2020 draft. But man, that contract is something. All of this talk about him getting big money, and this is what he got a 2-year contract worth up to just $13 million. When we talk about the Commanders general manager, Adam Peters, engaging in this massive roster overhaul and what that says about what he thinks about what this roster was, you know, the rest of the league is speaking about this roster too. And Cam Curl getting a mere 2-year contract worth up to just $13 million tells you what the rest of the league thinks about a guy who was supposed to be, right, the number one free agent from the Commanders this offseason. So Cam Curl, a very humbling contract in free agency. And then there's Kendall Fuller. We on Thursday afternoon had multiple reports that Commanders unrestricted free agent corner Kendall Fuller had agreed on a reported 2-year, $16.5 million contract with the Miami Dolphins. That Kendall Fuller is gone is not surprising. The expectation had been that he would be gone, and the Commanders not signing him to a contract extension in the weeks leading up to free agency, as the team did not sign any of its many significant free agents to a contract extension in the weeks leading up to free agency, communicated that the team wasn't that intent on keeping Fuller. But the contract terms for him with the Dolphins, at least to me, are surprising. 2 years, $16.5 million, that's it. Kendall Fuller is coming off a good season. Yes, he in the 2023 season was part of a Commander secondary that was terrible. Okay, that is true. But also, yes, he was the biggest bright spot of that secondary. Fuller for the 2023 regular season had an overall grade for Pro Football Focus of 83.1. That's good. PFF grades are on a scale of 0 to 100. Also, Fuller over the 2022 and 2023 regular seasons was the sixth most valuable corner in the NFL in terms of PFF wins above replacement, PFF WAR. Additionally, Fuller is known as a very smart player and as a good teammate. So why was his market so depressed? I think that the knee is the thing. You know, Fuller still is not 30. The 2024 season will be his age 29 season, but it also will be his ninth NFL season. He came into the NFL young. His 2016 rookie season off the Redskins taking him in the third round of the 2016 NFL draft out of Virginia Tech was his age 21 season. So he's young, but he has a lot of football mileage, and his right knee is a concern. He underwent microfracture surgery on his right knee while at Tech in September 2015. How much is left in that right knee is a question. But geez, 2 years, $16.5 million. I would not have had a problem with the Commanders re-signing him for that money. Specific to the Commanders, I do wonder if how he's best suited to playing was a factor. Fuller is known as being at his best in zone coverage. It may be that the Commanders' new defensive coordinator, Joe Witt Jr., wants to use a lot of man coverage. But a salute to Kendall Fuller, who did some good work for Washington over his two stints with the team, 2016 and 2017, and then 2020 through 2023. There is so much going on with the Commanders, and so there is a lot of great content right now at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. With everything happening with the Commanders, make sure that you're listening to this podcast. And if you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the Daily. WSH on the Daily just started in 2021 and yet has more than 25,000 followers and is literally daily. The page is updated every day. News, notes, reports, photos, graphics. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information, doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily is a great place at which you can converse with other Commanders fans regarding the team, the draft, free agency, and trades. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun, including the contest Name That Redskin and Free Wallpaper Wednesday. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you're on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily and check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop WSH on thedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content, check out at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSH on thedaily.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, believe it or not, the Capitals, as we speak, trail the Detroit Red Wings and the New York Islanders by just 1 point for the Eastern Conference's final wildcard spot. Isn't that something? The Caps, even with all of their losing, are very much in contention to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Caps' ongoing five-game road trip did not get off to a good start. Monday night, a 3-0 loss at the Winnipeg Jets. Late night on Wednesday night, a horrendous 7-2 loss at the Edmonton Oilers. But late night on Thursday night, a 2-1 win at the Seattle Kraken. And so the Caps for this NHL regular season now are 31-25-9 and have 71 points and, yes, are just a point out of the Eastern Conference's final wildcard spot. Charlie Lindgren, late night on Thursday night, was the Caps starting goaltender for the 19th time in 26 games, and he was good. He stopped 23 of the 24 shots on goal that he faced, and the goal that he gave up was a power play goal, which came in the third period. The Caps went 2-3 on the penalty kill. The Caps, in terms of the puck possession battle, dominated the first two periods, but then got dominated in the third period. The Caps, over the first two periods, had 19 shots on goal to the Kraken's 13. Okay, but the Caps over the first two periods per natural stat trick had 45-on-5 shot attempts to the Kraken's 21, including 9 5-on-5 high danger shot attempts to the Kraken's 1. But then the Caps in the third period had just 4 shots on goal to the Kraken's 11, and per natural stat trick had 4 5-on-5 shot attempts to the Kraken's 18, and yet each team scored 1 goal in the third period. Hockey's funny that way. The Caps got dominated in the puck possession battle in the third period, and yet the Caps and Kraken each scored the same amount of goals in that period, 1. Each of the Caps' 2 goals in this game was an unassisted goal. Top line right wing TJ Oshie, he in just his second game back from a 7-game absence caused by an upper body injury, scored an unassisted power play goal, 14-20 into the second period as the Caps went 1-4 on the power play, and as Oshie in the low slot intercepted an attempted clear by Kraken goaltender Joey Decord and then deposited the puck in the net. Oshie did commit a second period hooking minor, but great effort by him on that power play goal. And top line center Connor McMichael, he scored an unassisted even strength goal 11:36 into the third period on a one-on-none breakaway off a giveaway by ex-Cap Andrei Burakovsky in the Caps defensive zone. And the other guy on the Caps top line, left wing Alex Ovechkin. He had no points, but he did have a team-high tying 3 shots on goal and a game-high tying 7 total shot attempts. And winger Alexi Protas returned from a one-game absence caused by an upper body injury, as the Caps now are the healthiest they have been in weeks. Just in time for a postseason push. You know, just like that, things are looking up for the Caps. But next up for them is a stiff test. The Caps are at the Western Conference leading Vancouver Canucks Saturday night at 10. We have college basketball to discuss, a fitting apparent ending to Maryland's season. I say apparent because it's possible that the Terrapins will play in a postseason tournament beyond the Big Ten tournament, but the expectation is that the Terps season is in fact done, and we know that the Terps will not be playing in the NCAA tournament. Number 12-seeded Maryland lost to number 5-seeded Wisconsin 87-56 at the Target Center in Minneapolis on Thursday afternoon in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. 87-56, a 31-point loss. A no-doubt smash job of a loss. The Terps, in their 65-51 win over number 13-seeded Rutgers on Wednesday evening, showed up and played like a team that still cared. But the Terps on Thursday afternoon played like a team that was ready for its season to end. The Terps for this season now are just 16-17 overall, including just 8-14 in Big Ten games. If, in fact, the Terps season is over, it is their second losing season in 3 seasons, off having had 28 consecutive winning seasons. The Terps, from 1993-1994 through 2020-2021, had nothing but winning seasons, but now, it would seem, 2 losing seasons in 3 seasons. This loss to Wisconsin on Thursday afternoon also continued the Terps' struggles in Big Ten tournaments. The Terps now are 5-9 in Big Ten tournament games since joining the conference beginning with the 2014-2015 season. Terps head coach Kevin Willard is not getting fired. I know that disappoints a lot of you, but he's not getting fired. And he shouldn't be fired. Not after just 2 seasons on the job, including a first season in which he did well, but he this season did not do well. The roster that he put together via recruiting and the transfer portal was flawed in that the shooting by the team was really bad. There was an expectation that the freshmen on the team would be better than what they ended up being, talking about 6'5 true freshman Deshaun Harris-Smith and 6'6 true freshman Jamie Kaiser Jr. I do give Willard credit for getting his team to be a good defensive team, but the team was a really bad offensive team, and the team wilted down the stretch of the season. Put aside what happened on Thursday afternoon, go back to March 3rd. The 83-78 loss to Indiana at Xfinity Center in College Park, Maryland. The Terps on their senior day blew a 16-point second-half lead. Props to 6'1 point guard Jameer Young for a tremendous season, but his eligibility is up, and I believe that big-time change is coming to the Terps roster. I do not expect 6'9 Julian Reese. I do not expect Juju to be back on this team. The feeling is that he's going to transfer. We'll see. You can always email me, the Al Galdi Podcast at yahoo.com. Email from Jerry Moore, writes Jerry, Al, a very disappointing season ended with an embarrassing lack of effort type loss to Wisconsin. The program appears to be in ruins. Is there a positive side to Willard and the program that you can envision after such a dismal season and two freshmen who just could not produce offensively? Thank you for the email, Jerry. Well, the positive to the season is that Kevin Willard did get the team to be very good defensively. A bigger picture positive would be that we are just one season removed from a really nice first season for Willard as Terps head coach. The Terps, remember, surprisingly made the NCAA tournament last season. And another bigger picture positive would be the transfer portal slash NIL nature of college basketball right now, in that there's basically free agency every offseason. So if you're good, it is harder than ever to stay good. But if you're bad, it's easier than ever to get good. The Terps this season were bad. It's time to get good. Meantime, Virginia, it needs a good showing in the ACC tournament in order to ensure making the NCAA tournament, and there now very much is a path for the Cavaliers to make the ACC tournament title game. Number 3-seeded Virginia beat number 11-seeded Boston College 66-60 in overtime at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. late night on Thursday night in the quarterfinals. And also in the quarters on Thursday night was number 10-seeded NC State knocking off number 2-seeded Duke 74-69. Down went the Dukies. And so we have number 3-seeded Virginia versus number 10-seeded NC State. Wahoo versus the Wolfpack Friday night at about 9:30 in the semis. The Cavs very much have a path to the final, but they almost lost in the quarters. They overcame a 10-point first half deficit, allowed a game-tying two as time expired in the second half to force overtime, but then won the overtime 9-3. Boston College's 6'4", Mason Madsen, he hit a contested deep two from the left wing to tie the game at 57 as time expired in the second half. This was some shot. Jacob Groves' left hand was right in Madsen's face as he took that shot, and yet Madsen made that shot. The Cavs defense was not good in the first half, but then was really good in the second half and overtime. The Cavs in the first half allowed Boston College to score 35 points and go 6 of 13 on threes and 8 of 16 on twos. But the Cavs in the second half and overtime combined held Boston College to just 25 points, just 3 of 16 on threes, and just 7 of 21 on twos. The Wahoos won despite their offense not being good. They went just 8 of 25 on threes, just 17 of 37 on twos, and just 8 of 18 on free throws. The Hoos are so bad on free throws. Their leading scorer was 6'9 Oklahoma transfer Jacob Groves. He in 35 minutes, 13 seconds as a starter, 3 of 7 on threes, just 2 of 6 on twos, 2 of 3 on free throws. He finished with 15 points and 11 rebounds, including 4 offensive boards. We all know the March Madness cliche phrase, survive and advance. UVA late night on Thursday night did just that. And so making the NCAA tournament is still very much in play. Well, believe it or not, the Wizards entered their game on Thursday night having held each of their last three opponents to less than 110 points. By current NBA standards and by current Wizards standards, that's pretty good. But Thursday night, the Wizards went back to being not so good on defense. They got ripped on defense. A 135-119 loss at the Houston Rockets. The Wizards for this regular season now are 11-55. That is the worst record in the NBA. The Wizards trailed by at least 11 points for all of the second half as, Their defense was really bad. They allowed the Rockets to score 135 points, go 12 of 28 on threes, and score 70 points in the paint as the Rockets went 35 of 47 in the paint. Two bright spots for our tanking Wizards were Denny Avdia and Jordan Poole. Denny, in 36 minutes, 2 seconds as a starter, went 0 of 1 on threes, but 10 of 12 on twos and 4 of 5 on free throws. He finished with 24 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists versus 2 turnovers and 3 steals. And Jordan Poole, another nice game off the bench, 31 minutes, 33 seconds as a reserve. He went 5 of 12 on threes and 5 of 7 on twos. He finished with 25 points, 2 steals, and 2 assists versus 2 turnovers. The Wizards did remain without multiple rotation players. Marvin Bagley III did not play for a 5th consecutive game due to a lower back spasm. Rashawn Holmes did not play for a 3rd consecutive game due to a sprained left big toe. Landry Shamet did not play for a 2nd consecutive game due to a left calf strain. And the Wizards, prior to the game, officially announced the signing of 7-foot Tristan Vukcevic to a multi-year deal, an overseas stash for the Wizards coming to the team. The Wizards in the 2023 NBA draft took Vukcevic with the number 42 overall pick. So our team, seemingly for once, might actually get something out of a second round pick. Let's hope. Vukcevic did not play on Thursday night, but once he is playing, he should be playing a lot. Let's see what this guy can do. Our tanking Wizards have 16 games left in this regular season. There is zero reason not to play Vukcevic a good bit. Next up for the Wizards are 2 games this weekend at the Chicago Bulls Saturday night at 8 and home to the NBA leading Boston Celtics Sunday evening at 6. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Monday show, episode 785. We'll have a lot for you on the Commanders. Also on Monday show, I'll talk Capitals, Wizards, and college basketball. The Caps have 1 game this weekend. They are at the Western Conference leading Vancouver Canucks Saturday night at 10. The Wizards have 2 games this weekend at the Chicago Bulls Saturday night at 8 and home to the NBA leading Boston Celtics Sunday evening at 6, and college basketball this weekend. Sunday is Selection Sunday. We know that James Madison and Longwood are going to this year's NCAA tournament. As each school won its conference tournament. Will Virginia, in fact, make it? 3 schools from the state of Virginia to make this year's NCAA tournament. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Now I got to find a new quarterback.